I've been a copy editor here at The Monitor for almost 3 years. Copy editors are the last ones to see a story before it hits newsstands or inboxes or wherever you read your news. We check spelling, grammar, and punctuation, and enforce myriad institutional rules that get summed up as style. I'm leaving The Monitor for a new adventure. Here are my top 3 tips from your friendly neighborhood copy editor. 1, be consistent. Use a serial comma or don't. Use an N dash or an M dash. 2, use the correct homophone. 3, never ever use repetitive redundancies. If you've said it once, that's probably enough. More than once is too many. When in doubt, do it with a smile, or at least with a smile emoji. It's Monday, July 7th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm JJ Wahlberg. Please visit csmonitor.com/newsbriefs for today's curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Now today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. In March of 1925, the state of Tennessee passed a bill banning the teaching of evolution in public schools. That set the stage for a pivotal legal battle involving two unreconciled ideals: the separation of church and state, and the Bible as a standard of instruction in public institutions. A century later, the Scopes monkey trial, as journalist H.L. Mencken called it, still resonates in modern cultural debates over religion, education, and parental rights. Sophie Hills and Alfredo Sosa report from Dayton, Tennessee, for The Monitor. The decision by Israel and the United States to bomb Iran recently raises a high-stakes question. Will Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader, now forswear building a nuclear weapon, given the danger that a further U.S. strike would pose to his country and his regime? Or will he draw the opposite conclusion, that only possession of a nuclear weapon would reliably dissuade the United States, or indeed Israel, from attacking Iran again? The future of nonproliferation may hinge on his decision. Ned Temko reports from London for The Monitor. NATO members have agreed to more than double their defense spending in a move widely lauded as a historic step toward a more equal security relationship between the United States and its European partners. The effort may also be redefining concepts of military defense. Alliance members are shoring up their democracies through investments in everything from childcare to commercial undersea cables, reflecting a view that citizens have a critical role in keeping their countries safe. Anna Mulrein-Groba reports from The Hague, Netherlands, for The Monitor. Southern Lebanon has been a crossroads of conflict between Israel and Hezbollah, a proxy of Iran, for so long that it is known to the outside world as little else than a battlefield. Yet through this intimate portrait of Ashura, an annual 10-day religious ceremony among Shia Muslims, a village called Burj Khalawiya reminds us that places are defined by the people that live in them, rather than by the forces that overrun them. Contributor Madeline Edwards reports from Burj Khalawiya, Lebanon, for The Monitor. Gulab Singh, a former aspiring cricketer, is a police constable for the Punjab Police. In 2019, he began coaching 3 girls on the terrace of his house. As more girls joined, he converted his farmland into a cricket ground. "My uncles were furious and said I had ruined the land," says Mr. Singh, who once dreamed of wearing the Indian jersey, and hopes he can help his 16 athletes succeed where he did not. "But I told them, watching these girls grow in the game is my first priority." Contributors Shefali Rafiq and Saqib Moglu report from Daroki, India, for The Monitor. Now commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on the Dalai Lama's real worth in China. The spiritual leader of Tibetan Buddhists, the Dalai Lama, announced July 2nd that a charitable nonprofit, located in India, as is he, will pick his successor after his death, and do so outside the control of the Chinese Communist Party. The decision, made just before his 90th birthday, has set off political fireworks in Beijing. The ruling party claims only it can make the selection for some 7 million Tibetans in China. Yet there are several challenges for the party in its attempt to control the future of Tibetan Buddhism, along with many other popular faiths in China. First, among China's majority ethnic Han, the practice of this brand of Buddhism has become very popular. The nation's drive for materialistic wealth has left a spiritual void for many in the middle class. As China's cities have become more atomized and social trust has eroded, wrote John Osberg, a scholar at the Asia Society Policy Institute, many affluent Chinese are drawn to the sense of community provided by faith-based groups. Members of China's elite who convert to Tibetan Buddhism say they value its purity and intellectually rigorous philosophy, he stated. Second, a model for community charity with Buddhist roots in Tibet, a practice known as Kidu, which the party banned there in 2018, has spread in China, helping drive an increase in private giving outside state control. From 2013 to 2023, the country saw a 388% rise in the proportion of people who donated money, according to the charity's aid foundation. Much of that giving was informal and local. Third, the current Dalai Lama has often seemed little worried about Beijing's attempts to control a religion that's well entrenched in much of Asia. Buddhism has existed for thousands of years and the Dalai Lama institution for just a few centuries, he told the India news site DNA nearly a decade ago. Institutions, such as the Dalai Lama's, are not set in stone and can be discontinued. There's no problem with that. It seems the Chinese Communist government is more concerned about the Dalai Lama institution, he added. As with China's many popular beliefs, from Confucianism to Buddhism to Christianity, people practicing them do so for internal motivations, such as spiritual growth. As the Dalai Lama stated in his July 2nd decision, he has been clear as far back as 1969 that concerned people should decide if the tradition of a Dalai Lama should continue. Followers of Tibetan Buddhism, he stated, requested a successor for him. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we identify ourselves the way God does, we experience change for the better. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.